I'm a huge fan of clothing rental memberships. I think it's such an amazing way to not only save money, but also have a more sustainable home where you just don't buy quite as many things. And it's also an amazing way to explore new styles without the commitment of needing to purchase everything. I recently discovered Armoire, which is a woman-founded and woman-led brand that also spotlights a ton of women-owned designers on their website. All you do is take a 5-minute style quiz and then you select items that you love. And then styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. And then whenever you're ready for new clothes, you just swap them out for new styles. So it's on a membership program tier, and you can sort of choose the membership you want. I ordered my first case just yesterday, and I already got the shipping confirmation for it. I have pieces on the way from Hatch, a pea in the pod, and so much more. I really went all out with the maternity clothes. I got dresses, jumpsuits, maternity jeans, things that I wouldn't otherwise want to buy because I really will only need them for such a limited time. I'll be sharing some of the styles on my stories in the coming weeks, but if you're interested in giving Armoire a try, they are kindly giving my listeners up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. So just visit armoire.style/realstuff. That's armoire.style, spelled Armoire. .style/realstuff to get up to 50% off your first month. Go give them a try today.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to know another Snapple fact? The first hot air balloon passengers were a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. Ridiculous. Check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavored Snapple near you.
Welcome to today's special episode of the Real Stuff Podcast. This episode has been long awaited ever since I first shared this incredible and kind of unbelievable news on my Instagram story. So today's audience caller is a friend of mine from New York City who gave birth to her second baby 4 weeks early in the car. Now, before we get into this wild story, I just want to share some very exciting news about the podcast. So just to give you a little behind the scenes look, when the show was first developed and the podcast network Cloud 10 picked it up, we went into contract for just 12 episodes to be created. And that contract basically said after those 12 episodes, we'll see how the show is performing. And then Cloud 10 will decide if they want to greenlight an entire season of the show, which is like 45 episodes. So we gave it a few months after launch to see how the first few episodes were received. And it has been so clear from our very first episode that this show is doing so, so well. And I got a call from the Cloud 10 team recently saying we were officially greenlit for the entire year. And I want to say your feedback, your reviews on Apple and Spotify, and of course the episode downloads, the YouTube watches, all of the comments on all of the social pages, everything you've done has contributed to this show being greenlit for the season. And I really couldn't be more thankful for all of you. Your feedback and your engagement in this community helped make this decision. So good news, we are greenlit for the whole year. I'm hoping to even move into another year of production after that. Obviously, we'll take it 1 year at a time, but we're having a lot of fun over here. So on today's episode, I know you guys are going to find this story wildly entertaining. And above all, even though this is a, quote, crazy birth story, it is actually a very, very positive birth story. And you will see, if you watch on YouTube, you will see the happiness glowing on Chelsea's face throughout this story. If you're currently pregnant with your first and you're nervous for labor, you might have seen this episode topic and thought maybe I shouldn't listen to that because that's going to scare me. I would argue that today's episode is going to make you less nervous to give birth. It's just proof that first of all, we as women can do absolutely anything. And second of all, you're just going to see how Chelsea looks back on this experience with such joy, no matter how crazy it all sounds. Because this is an audience caller episode, I just want to call out on one of the previous audience caller episodes, we had some comments about the cadence at which the guest was speaking. I don't know, people talking about the number of times they said or like. And so since today's guest is another audience caller and it is such a staple pillar of the show for us to bring on audience members, I want to remind all of you listening that doing a show where you bring on audience callers means you are speaking to people who are not used to being interviewed on podcasts. So we cannot hold these people to the same standards as you might hold influencers or celebrities. First of all, they likely aren't going to have professional equipment. They might not be in the most quiet spaces that are lit up all professionally like you're seeing here in my podcast studio. So unlike other shows where all of the guests are influencers or celebrities, on this show, we don't have all media trained guests. So they are nervous to come on this show and share these very vulnerable stories with you. They might say or like, or speak quickly or speak slowly, whatever. So just try, for all my future audience caller episodes, try to have a little more empathy going into the listening experience. Maybe be a little less critical of their speaking patterns and whatnot. Anyway, I absolutely cannot talk for a second more because I want you to hear this story. We hope you enjoy it. If you find this entertaining, please share the episode on your Instagram story and tag the show at The Real Stuff Pod and tag me at Lucy B. Fink. All right, enjoy. I'm just so happy you're here.
Thank you for having me.
Are you nervous?
I am nervous. I've never done this before.
Never been a guest on a podcast?
Never been on a podcast before.
All right. Well, you have such an amazing story to tell. I posted this on my Instagram. I said, you guys, I just had a friend in my mom group who texted us this morning that last night or yesterday, she gave birth to her second baby in her car. And I posted this on my story just kind of because I was so beyond, I don't even know the word to use. I was envisioning this happening to you and it was blowing my mind and I felt like I needed to post it. Apparently it's happened to a lot of people. I got so many messages from others who have given birth in their cars.
Crazy.
And I got so many questions from people and so many requests for us to bring you here on the podcast. So we're here today and, you know, I just want to start. Can you just start by introducing yourself, talking about when you were pregnant with this baby?
Of course.
What was going on in your life, and then you can sort of just get into what happened on this crazy day.
Yeah, so my name is Chelsea, and I have a 2-year-old daughter named Sophie, and I was pregnant with my second. We didn't know the gender. My first daughter, she came a little bit early, so we were kind of expecting maybe this one would come a little bit early as well, but every time we went to the doctors, they're like, nope, no labor, nothing. You might go 40 weeks, like don't expect to go early. So when I was 36 weeks and one day, I had a growth scan that morning, luckily, because my husband stayed home from work that day to work from home since I had this appointment. He went into the city for work like all the days before, so very luckily he was home. I live in the suburbs now, so it would have been hard to be alone with my 2-year-old. And oh, we went to the growth scan in the morning and everything was normal. They looked at everything. I wasn't in labor. I wasn't dilated. I wasn't having contractions. I felt totally good. I was a little bit annoyed because I was ready for the baby to be here. But besides that, it was like a very normal day, a normal appointment. We left, we went grocery shopping, like I was totally myself in no pain at all. And we came home to get back to our daughter to feed her lunch and put her down for her nap. So at about 1 o'clock on that day, we put her down. And, you know, since I was pregnant with a toddler, I was exhausted and I used every chance I could to nap myself whenever she napped. So I went to sleep at 1 o'clock and I'm a tutor. I tutor math. So I had an appointment at 4 o'clock. So I set my alarm for 3:45 and I slept for 2 hours and 45 minutes and it was great. I got all my rest in. And then at 3:45, my alarm went off and everything was still normal. I was in no pain at all. Like, I don't think I was in labor. I experienced labor with my first and I knew what it felt like. And I woke up and I had a tutor in 15 minutes. And so luckily, I don't know like how this happened, but my 4 o'clock kid canceled. He texted me that day at 3:50 canceling and he never cancels.
Was this an appointment that you would have had to go to in person?
No, it was a virtual tutoring session. Okay. But I wouldn't have canceled because like I was fine. I didn't feel anything. So I 100% would have been tutoring otherwise from 4 to 5. So luckily he canceled on me and I was like, oh, great, I'm gonna go back to sleep. I'm pregnant 36 weeks, I need to sleep more. But as you know, it's really hard to like get up and pee when you're pregnant. So I was like, I'll just, since I'm up, I'll go to the bathroom. Like, I'm already standing because it's really hard to get out of bed.
Use your time wisely.
I didn't really have to go, but I was like, once I get back in bed, then I have to like, you know, roll right. over if you feel like a
wall, oh, yeah.
which side to go off the bed on. So I'm like, I'll go to the bathroom now while I'm standing. And I went in the bathroom, and this sounds so weird, but like I couldn't sit. I wasn't in pain, but I tried to like sit to go to the bathroom and my legs like wouldn't bend.
When you told this part of the story, I was curious if when you said you couldn't sit, if you meant that it was painful to bend your legs or that kind of hinging over at the hips, like around your waist area, wouldn't bend. Which one was it?
It was more like the back of my upper thighs. It was like so painful when I bent that I'm sure I could have if I like really tried, but the legs hurt so badly whenever I bent them that like my body just wouldn't let me.
And did you just notice, I guess you just noticed that pain when you tried to sit on the toilet, but you didn't feel any ounce of it waking up from the nap or even getting out of the bed and walking into the bathroom?
Correct. And when I was standing, I was fine. It was just when I was trying to sit.
Wow, okay.
Which is weird because, like, I don't know, that's not what you think of when you hear about a contraction or being in labor. So my husband was downstairs.
Definitely not.
And I didn't feel like, you know, going down to get him. So I texted him on my phone and I have all the timestamps that I obviously looked back on. And this was at 3:52 and I texted him, like, come here. So he came upstairs. And I was like, I know this sounds crazy, but like, I can't sit. And he's like, what do you mean? And I was like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if it's pregnancy related or like maybe it's something else, but like, I can't sit. And during pregnancy, I'm a little bit dramatic. And so he was like, okay, like, go back to sleep. Like, I don't know what to tell you. And I was like, no, like, something's weird. Like, I literally can't sit. Like, I can't just go back to sleep. And he's like, you're fine. Like, it's probably in your head. Like, go to sleep. Like, you'll be fine when you wake up.
Aside from that one moment where you try to sit and you're like, ouch, that hurt, did the pain linger or it was just one fleeting sharp pain when you tried to sit and then as soon as you stood up it went away?
So the first time it just was a quick sharp pain when I tried to sit, and when I stood up it went away. And then as he was coming upstairs and like as I was talking to him, I felt that pain one more time. So that at okay. that moment I'm like, maybe it's a contraction because, you know, it is spaced out and it's happening more than once.
Let me ask you, with your first, Sophie, when you say you went early, how early did you go?
Sophie was, my water broke at 35 weeks with Sophie, and she was born at 35 weeks in one day the next morning.
Okay, so once you got to that stage with this pregnancy, you know, once you got to 35 weeks, I know you said you were expecting to go maybe early, maybe not that early, but early again. Was there any part of you at this moment when you're trying to sit and you get this pain that thinks, okay, this is it?
No, because I had a doctor's appointment that morning. And
right.
I think
and they said you're not dilated.
Right. Totally. No contractions. Like, everything was completely normal.
With that first pregnancy, just take us back. Let's pause a moment. Uh-huh. With your first pregnancy, when your water broke, were you at home? Were you out and about? What was that like?
I was really lucky. I was in the hospital having a non-stress test. So they said it had nothing to do with that and that it was just a coincidence. But I was in the hospital just one floor down in the bed having a non-stress test when my water broke. So it was really easy. They just put me in a wheelchair, put me in the elevator, and I went right upstairs. And
oh,
I didn't start having contractions for like 2 or 3 hours. So it was very different.
With Milo, I gave birth to him at 37 weeks on the dot, which is not quite as early as 35, but still early. And I lost my mucus plug at my OBGYN appointment. And there's something about that kind of stuff happening under medical care that just feels so much less scary than if you're at home and you look in your underwear and you're like, what is going on?
No, I feel so lucky that with my first, I was in the hospital, you were at the doctor. It makes it so much easier because you don't even have to think. You just ask the doctor.
Right. Okay, so back to your bathroom. Your husband, Justin, says, go back to bed. You're being dramatic. And you say, no, really.
Like, I
this
can't
hurts.
Sit. Right. So he's like, okay, so maybe we should call the doctor and just like, I think he wanted me to call the doctor and have her tell me like that I was being dramatic. So I called the doctor, and I don't know if you feel this way, but like sometimes as a pregnant woman, I feel like crazy for like always not being nervous, but like thinking things are always happening. So like I called the doctor and they asked me how long I've been having contractions for. And I was embarrassed to be like, you know, like 30 seconds, like twice.
I've had two.
Right. So I kind of exaggerated. I said that I've been having them for half an hour because I figured that sounded like, you know, not like embarrassingly short, but not like, oh my God, I've been having contractions for a day. So I told my doctor that it's been about 30 minutes. And she asked me if I was timing them. I said no. So she told me to stay home, time them. And if I noticed them coming every 5 minutes or faster and lasting for 1 minute or longer, and that's happening for an hour, then I should make my way to the hospital. But she's like, but, you know, you're still 36 weeks. It could be labor because your first came early, but, like, there's also a good chance it's not. Don't worry right now. Like, stay home for the next hour and time them and write it down, and then, you know, we'll see what's happening in an hour.
You know, this is such an interesting thing about women, because I agree with you completely that when I talk to doctors specifically around pregnancy, it's almost like you have to watch what you say because you want to make sure that they know you're not just being dramatic. Right. And in your case, it is really interesting because they have these hard and fast rules of don't come to the hospital until your contractions are this many minutes apart for this long. And they don't want to see you before then. Even when I went into labor, I was having contractions. And my doctor flat out told me, I don't want you to come into the hospital until you are in so much pain that you can't talk.
Which is so scary to hear. Like, especially the first
I want to be in the hospital bed long before that with the epidural in my back. 100%. I don't want to wait until I can't talk. But first of all, it's interesting that they would say that. And then you hear stories like yours where it's almost like if you are in so much pain, even though it just started 2 minutes before, right, at what point do you tell a doctor, I know my body and I've been in labor before and the pain I'm feeling right now is extreme, and when are they going to listen? I mean, what do you have to say to get them to say, okay, come in, let's check you out?
Oh, like, it's been 2 minutes. Like, they would have laughed at me. And I love my doctors. They were great. But, you know, they've done this millions of times, and I guess even though so many people have apparently given birth in cars, it's still relatively rare.
So I think they're just a little desensitized to the extreme emotions that are going through a new parent's head of this is my body and this weird thing is happening to me. And it's like they see this every day, so they kind of know you're generally going to be okay. So here's the guideline.
Normally the guidelines work probably, but there's always exceptions to the rule, I guess.
Whenever I use Lumi's whole body deodorant, I truly feel a level of confidence that is absolutely unattainable to me on other days. Unlike most other deodorants, Lumi is powered by mandelic acid, which delivers this outrageous 72-hour control everywhere from your pits to your feet and, yes, even your private parts. In fact, it was patients' concerns about their private part odor that originally inspired the OBGYN who first invented Lumi. And now, flash forward 6 years, her game-changing whole-body deodorant has now earned over 300,000 five-star reviews from people like me. My personal favorite is the toasted coconut scent. It's the one that's in the kind of yellowish, orangish packaging. And if you order their starter pack, that is perfect for new customers. So it comes with a solid stick deodorant, a cream tube deodorant, and 2 free products of your choice, like a mini body wash and deodorant wipes, plus free shipping. And as a special offer for the Real Stuff listeners, all new customers will get 15% off every Lumi product with our exclusive code, which is all caps Real Stuff. So if you combine that 15% off with the already discounted starter pack price, that equals over 40% off a starter pack. So use the code all caps Real Stuff for 15% off your first purchase at LumiDeodorant.com. One more time, that's code Real Stuff at LumiDeodorant.com. So it sounds like after the doctor told you to stay home that you sort of knew you should probably listen to your body. So what did you do next?
So my body started hurting more and more, and it kind of started becoming like continuous, not really stopping and starting, just like continuous pain, which is weird because it's supposed to be, you know, slowly get closer and closer together. And mine really didn't have that happen. It just went from 0 to 100 really fast. So I was Justin, like, I'm not waiting an hour. Like, we need to get to the hospital. So he called his parents. They live about 25 minutes away. And they said, we'll get in the car. We'll come. We'll be there in 25 minutes. So at first I was like, great. Like, we'll get everything in the car. Sophie was still sleeping. Like, we'll wake her up and we'll leave in 25 minutes. Like, I thought that was manageable at first.
So by the way, just so everyone knows, the reason you're calling your husband's parents is to come watch your daughter so that you two can go to the hospital.
Exactly. We needed we couldn't leave Sophie alone. We didn't want to take her with us.
Right.
So we needed someone to watch her. So his parents, the plan was for them to come, like, watch her, make sure, you know, take her for however long we needed. So they got in their car. We woke Sophie up. We got our bags. They were all packed, but we, like, got them, you know, in the car, and I had to get dressed. And luckily, leggings weren't going to go on me at that point. So I put on, like, a huge pair of big sweatpants. That was the only thing that would fit me. And I was in so much pain when I was getting dressed, and I, like, didn't know how I was going to get down the stairs. Because last time I was in the hospital, they put me in the elevator. This time I had to, like, walk downstairs as I was having this pain. And, like, that was the worst pain that I felt the whole time. My husband's like, do you want me to, like, try to carry you downstairs? But I was like, no, like, that's dangerous. Like, you might fall. Like, I'm happy now, like, you know? So I literally just, like, sounded like a child. Like, I closed my eyes and, like, screamed and just, like, went down the stairs. Because, like, what else was I going to do? I had to get down. It was awful.
Oh, my gosh. Was it, like, every step felt like
I didn't even, like,
a baby was coming out, or it was just pain?
Such bad pain. But mostly in my legs, which also is still weird. But, like, also in my stomach and my back. It just, like, hurt.
At this point, were you feeling any of the standard stomach tightening contraction feelings?
No, I never really felt any of the anything in my stomach. It was all in my, like, upper legs and my back.
Okay.
Which I wasn't used to.
Very interesting.
Right. We were getting my daughter ready, and at one point I looked at Justin and I'm like, we can't wait for your, like, where's your mom? Like, how far is she? And he called her, and she was still, like, 12 minutes away, I think. And I was like, we can't wait 12 minutes. Like, we need to go now. And he's like, we can't bring Sophie. So luckily we have, like, a bunch of friends who live near us. So he's like, why don't we call one of our friends and have them come get Sophie? But I knew that would take still, like, at least 4 or 5 minutes. You know, by the time you call someone, they get their own kid in the car. They drive here. Yes. And I was like, I can't wait, like, 4 or 5 minutes. Like, I have to leave now. And he listened to me. He didn't really have a choice, I guess. So he got Sophie in the car. We got in the car. Luckily, my daughter, Sophie, the 2-year-old, her car seat was rear-facing. So she wasn't, like, facing forward. But
Thank God.
Yeah, which is amazing. Otherwise, she could have been traumatized for life.
Does she have one of those mirrors?
She does, but, like, she kicks it all the time. So, and now that she's older, I don't really need to look in it all the time. So we never really fixed it. So luckily, our, like, you know, laziness.
Lopsided.
Yeah, our laziness paid off because she couldn't see anything in the front seat. And okay, luckily, good. Normally I would sit in the back near her. Especially when, like, things are rushed and, you know, she was in half pajamas, half shirt, because we started changing her outfit and then we're like, no, we need to leave. Luckily, our second baby's car seat was in the car, so there was no more room in the back seat for me. So I had to sit in the front, which paid off, definitely.
And at this point, your plan was, let's put Sophie in the car and we'll just all go to the hospital and we'll have Justin's parents meet us in the lobby of the hospital to take Sophie.
Exactly, yes.
Okay, good plan.
Because we didn't have an option at that point. We had to go.
Good thinking. Honestly, this is good, like, on-the-fly changing of plans and maneuvering.
Right, and we also were really lucky because I don't know how they do it at, like, most hospitals, but my first child I had in the city, and as I said, my water broke in the hospital, so we had appointments in the actual hospital, so, like, we knew where to go. Whereas now that I'm in the suburbs, none of my appointments were ever in the hospital. So it would have been scary, like, not knowing, you know, there's a million driveways and entrances and streets and whatever. But luckily, you know, it didn't feel lucky at the time. But in December, I fell down the stairs because our stairs, we just moved into our house. We didn't have a runner yet. So it was really slippery, which is also why I didn't want Justin to carry me down these stairs. But right. I fell down the stairs and I had to go to the emergency room to get checked. And luckily, like, you know, at the time it was frustrating, but we knew, like, exactly which door to go in and where to park the car, like, all that stuff.
That is a major blessing in disguise.
100%. And so I think, honestly, that all hospitals should let you come to one appointment or something in advance just so you know where to go.
Totally. I mean, my new hospital, because I switched from the city, my new hospital did my 12-week scan and they're going to do my 20-week scan at the maternal floor of the hospital. Okay. Michael didn't come with me to the 12-week scan, but he's coming to the 20-week scan. And I was, like, taking mental notes, looking around, saying, this is the lot, this is the bridge to cross to get into the hospital. I was it's like, important. I need to know.
Yeah. Yes. And that's how it was in the city. Like, we knew exactly what floor to go to, like, where to sign in. This time, like, it was a huge hospital with so many different, like, departments and everything. I would have had no clue where to go if it wasn't for my fall down the stairs. So I guess that was
okay. So you know where you have in your head where you're headed.
Yes.
And you guys get in the car, but you said you can't sit. So how are you even sitting?
Right before I got in the car, like, as Justin's buckling Sophie and my water broke, I thought, like, we weren't positive because everything just, like, felt so weird. And, like, you know, when you're pregnant and you laugh, pee comes out, like, you never know what it is. So I wasn't positive, but it felt like my water broke and, like, it was all, you know, gross and fluids everywhere and wet. So, like, could have been pee, I guess, but I think that my water broke in my driveway standing there.
Was it, like, a gush at all or just you just felt moist in your pants?
It just felt, like, moist in my pants. Just like,
and what did you look to check if it was any blood or any color?
I couldn't even move. I was like, I need to just get to the hospital, like, now. Like, okay. Something just happens. Hopefully it was my water. Hopefully the baby's coming in, like, you know, a few hours. So we got in the car, and, you know, where we live, the hospital's luckily really close. In Google Maps, it's 11 minutes. There's no highways to go on. There's no, it's like one street. But my husband was trying to be cautious, and so he starts putting the address in his GPS. And I'm like, he was the most supportive. He's amazing. I love him. And he was, like, the best during pregnancy. So I'm not trying to make him sound like he did everything wrong. But I'm like, why are you putting this in the GPS? There's one street to go on. Like, what are you doing? And he's like, I don't know. Like, there could be traffic. Like, I want to make sure we get there as fast as possible. I'm like, yeah, like, if you stop being on your phone and put it, like, well, that's what's going to get us there faster. So whatever. We got in the car. I can't really sit. I'm, like, trying to sit, but I'm in so much pain. I definitely can't get strapped. And, you know, he's like, we have to keep you safe. We have to keep the baby safe. I'm like, I don't care. Like, I literally can't get strapped right now. Like, drive safely. I don't know what to tell you.
So what are you doing? Are you, like, basically standing with your hands supporting you?
My feet were on the floor, and I was, like, trying to have my hands support me. But I was, like, moving, like, back and forth, like, wiggling because it, like, helped, I guess, kind of.
Right.
And then
you couldn't put your butt down at all.
Couldn't put my butt down at all. And then at one hand, you know, like, my hands went in the middle where, like, the parking brake is. And, of course, he's like, you can't, like, touch the parking brake. I'm like, I can do whatever I want. Normally, I'm not like that. But I was like, don't tell me what to do right now. And he's like, if you touch it, like, where the car is going to go off, whatever. And so then my butt, like, I kept moving around. Like, at one point, my butt was, like, near the window because I couldn't, like, stop moving. And we're driving. Right. And unfortunately, by this point, it's like, so I woke up from my nap at 3:45 and we left the house at around, like, 4:25-ish. So it's only been a little over half an hour, which from when I woke up. Unfortunately, that's, like, rush hour time. So really, the hospital is, like, 8 minutes from our house. But now it's at 11 minutes, which was a big deal because I really...
Every minute counts here. Every
second counted. And I was like, what is happening? And of course, there's all these cars. And my husband is nervous that I'm not strapped with the baby. So he's stopping at all the yellow lights, which he says now he still doesn't regret. He wanted to keep us safe, and our daughter's in the car. He's like, I couldn't, like, go through all the lights, which is very considerate. But at the moment, I thought it was the worst. Like, I was so mad. I was like, what are you, like, literally just drive, like, get me there. Like, not only go through the yellow lights, go through the red lights.
Honk your horn and just go through the lights and wave at people through the window. That's what I would say.
Right. And, like, he definitely knew that I was not faking it. Like, he knew the contractions were real, but I don't think he realized how real they were. Like, I didn't even realize how real they were.
Right. I mean, I'm sure at this point you were just thinking, like, I'm in pain. I need to get to the hospital. Hopefully it's not too late for an epidural. But as you said, the baby's going to come in the next few hours. Yes. You would never think it's going to be minutes at all.
I didn't even consider that it would be too late for an epidural. Like, I never heard of anyone really. Like, you know, I have a lot of friends who have recently had babies. And in the past few years, and, like, all of them had time to get the epidural. Like, it didn't even cross my mind that, like, maybe I would get the epidural. I thought, like, maybe I'd have to, like, have the baby, like, the epidural fast, like, right away. I wouldn't be able to wait hours. But it never crossed my mind that I wouldn't be able to get the epidural.
I want to pause here to ask you. This was one of the questions that came through from my audience. And I think I know the answer to this, just being your friend. But did you have a birth plan in place?
Really, I just wanted me and the baby to be safe. But my birth plan was mostly just, like, to go to the hospital, to get an epidural. I ideally wanted to deliver vaginally, but of course, if I had to get a C-section, I was open to it. So it was a pretty general birth plan, nothing crazy.
It probably was clear already from this conversation, but I guess that person wanted to know if you were planning a home birth or hospital birth. You were planning a hospital birth, you were going to get an epidural, you had an epidural and a vaginal birth with Sophie, your first, so that was your plan, and you were basically at this point in the car on the way to do that again.
That was what I thought the whole car ride until the last second. So, yes, you know, I commend people who are able to have home births and not get epidurals, but that definitely is not me. I am not great with pain normally. So I was excited to get the epidural as fast as possible.
I hear you. I was as well.
I can't imagine, like, knowing that you're giving birth without an epidural. Like, that must be, those women are really strong. Like, I didn't have to go through that.
And well, you did it without knowing.
Without
but
knowing.
Let's
but
keep
the
going.
Mental part is really hard too. And like, I didn't have to go through the mental part. So I lucked out right. there, I guess.
And I guess the whole time you thought it still wasn't happening until it happened.
Until it happened. Until the last second.
So okay, so driving, Justin's stopping at these yellow lights.
These yellow lights. And I kept being like, Justin, like, the baby's coming. But, like, I still didn't really mean, like, this second the baby's coming. I just meant, like, move the car faster. Get us to the hospital because the baby's coming. And as you know from Milo, two-year-olds just, like, repeat everything they hear. So my daughter's in the backseat being like, because I'm like, the baby's coming, the baby's coming. And she's like, yay, baby's coming, baby's coming. I don't think she, like, really knew what it meant. But I kept telling Justin the baby was coming. So she kept telling Justin, daddy, baby's coming, yay. Like, clapping her hands, like, no clue really what's going on, but really excited because she hears commotion. And she hears the baby's coming. So she kept repeating
right.
that. And we're driving. And all of a sudden, I really had to go to the bathroom. Like, really badly. So I was like, Justin, like, I really have to go to the bathroom. Like, get us to the hospital. And he's like, you know, like, if you have to go, like, go, I guess. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, we're not going
to
be there.
And for- this is having to poop or pee?
Poop.
So okay, really- and, like, that is the most, that's the sensation that the doctors say you yeah. feel the moment you're about to give birth.
Yes, but, and I knew that because I did feel that when I had my first with Sophie, but mm-hmm. I was still, like, not really thinking, you know, like, I'd only been in labor for, like, 15, 20 minutes, so I right. really didn't think, I, like, thought I genuinely really had to poop, like, really had to go to the bathroom. And so if I tried to hold it in for a few seconds, I guess, and then Justin's like, if you have to, like, whatever, like, if you, because I'm like, I can't hold it. First, he, like, I was trying to not do it. And he's like, if you have to, you have to. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, whatever, poop.
That's a good husband award.
Yeah, like, in our car, like, you know, he, I guess he'd have to clean it up. Who knows?
We'll talk about the car after.
Talk about the car after. So I really had to go. So I pushed, but, like, not hard. Just, like, regular, you know, you're going to the bathroom. It wasn't anything crazy. And I thought,
do you remember if it felt like you had a stomach ache, like the type of feeling when you're like, I have to poop because yeah. I have a stomach ache, or was it just pressure?
That was a little stomach ache, but okay. not awful. The contractions were way worse than the feeling of having to go to the bathroom. That feeling so was almost, like, relieving, honestly, because it's, like, almost the end.
Right. I'm trying to get a visual of your position in the car at this point. Are you somehow on your hands and knees on the front seat?
Yeah. So my hands were, like, close to the brake, like the parking brake.
Okay.
My butt's, like, kind of in the air. But when I really felt like I had to go, I was able to more, not totally sit down, but, like, my legs were able to go back on the floor and I was able to more closely sit down. It still hurt a little bit, but, like, I think that it felt like, okay, like, once I poop, I'll be fine.
And were you, like, sitting on the edge of the
yeah.
seat
yeah.
or yeah. you weren't sitting far back, you no, were on no, the no. very edge where was the there was room edge, in front of you.
And it was kind of frustrating because, like, Sophie's car seat was behind me, so I couldn't, like, move the seat back. Like, the seat was, like, pretty far up, but I was yeah. on the edge as much as I could, and I wanted to move the seat back, but obviously I couldn't because she was right there.
When you push and you feel like you're maybe lightly pushing and you go to the bathroom, did you actually go to the bathroom?
Unclear. Because as soon as okay. we went to the hospital, they threw the pants away.
They okay, had, so there's no way to retrieve them.
They were far gone. But it felt like I did. It burned a little bit when I pushed, but nothing crazy. I know they talk about the ring of fire, and I definitely felt, like, a little bit of burning. But it didn't. It wasn't as bad as I would expect. And so at that point, like, I just, you know, who knows what was coming out of me. I kept, like,
right.
things were just happening, and I don't know really if I went to the bathroom. I think I did. And so then I, like, felt better. Not great, but I felt not as much pain. But I was thinking about when I walk into the hospital, I was wondering, like, when I stand up, like, what are my pants going to look like? Like, is it going to look like I went to the bathroom? Is it going to be obvious to people? Not that that really matters, but, like, I knew that it was a busy waiting room. I knew you have to wait online to, like, check in or whatever. And so I wanted to know, like, what did the back of my pants look like? So I started trying to kind of, like, you know, not, like, under the pants, but feel if it was obvious that I went to the bathroom, and I felt something really hard.
This is from the outside, so you're, like, putting your hands back yeah. by your butt.
Yes. From the outside, I, like, was trying to feel if it was, like, you know, a shape or soft or whatever.
Right. I come from an incredibly musical family, and I know that feeling when you hear a song for the first time and you get that feeling like the song was written about you and your life. My brother is a songwriter. I always wish I could just ask him, can you just write me a song about this one thing or this one person? And now with Songfinch, I have the power to get that done. Songfinch is a website that lets you create an original radio quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. And the songs are written by real songwriters. They're completely unique and personal, and they, of course, last forever. So they're such a good gift idea. I recently used Songfinch to create a special song for my twin sister, Allie. The process was so simple. I basically got to pick a musician from their site who I liked based on listening to some samples of their work. I told them who the song was for, what style I wanted it in. I wrote a few personal details and stories about my relationship with Allie and our twinhood. Whether the song you make is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation, a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care and are thinking of them, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist. For a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free so that you and the lucky person can listen to it anywhere, anytime. Go to songfinch.com/realstuff and start your song. And then after you purchase, you will be prompted to add Spotify streaming to your original song for free, which is a $50 value. So again, that URL is songfinch.com/realstuff. Don't forget to share your song with me. I desperately want to hear it. That's songfinch.com/realstuff. I'm also guessing at this point, I know you said you didn't really look down that much or like look inside, but it wasn't like at this point your sweatpants were like soaked with blood.
No.
Okay.
They were like wet from who knows the water, whatever it was.
Right.
But it wasn't soaked. It was just wet.
And were they just, this is, now I'm just trying to get a visual. Were they black sweatpants or like gray or white where you could see?
They were gray.
Okay. So you would have been able to see if it was like red.
Yes. It wasn't red. In the front.
Okay. Least,
who knows the back, but the front wasn't red.
Yeah.
So I was like feeling the back and I felt something like hard, but it wasn't huge. Like my thought wasn't like, this is the baby, but also like it was really hard. So I was like, there's no way this is like poop. So I told Justin, I said, Justin, like, I don't think this is not poop. And he's like, of course it is. Like, what do you mean? And I was like, I don't know. Like, I really don't think this is that. And he's like, what else could it be? And I was like, maybe the baby. He's like, you would know if you had, like, it's not the baby. Like, you would know. Like, obviously, like, you don't just like give birth and not know. And I was like, I don't know. And so,
wait, hold on. Okay, so you touch this hard lump. You feel like it might be something. You still haven't looked to see what it is, but you touched it. And when you said, like, first of all, you're touching your butt area, but obviously, like, your butt and vaginal canal are relatively close. So theoretically, you were, I guess, touching your vaginal opening, but it was, like, right by where your butt is.
Yes. Because, like, I thought it was poop, so I thought it would be back there. And I guess the babies are big enough that when they come out, they're just, like, everywhere. But so
when he says it's obviously not the baby, I'm trying to envision, like, does he think at this point that, like, you maybe got the baby out and it's just sitting in your sweatpants?
No, he definitely doesn't think that. He thinks there's no chance. He thinks that I literally just pooped everywhere. And I'm just crazy because I'm pregnant and I'm, you know, 36 weeks and all this pain is happening. And he thinks I'm just probably losing my mind because I'm like, it's really hard. And he's trying to comfort me. Like, it's fine. Like, we're almost there. We're like 5 minutes away. You're going to get the epidural soon. Like, as soon as we get there, we'll make sure you get it. Like, you know, my mom will meet us in the lobby. You'll go upstairs first. And I was like, no, like, I think that it's the baby. And he's like, it's definitely not the baby. Obviously, you would have screamed. Like, because I wasn't calm, but I was, like, relatively calm. Like, I was in pain, but as soon as whatever came out of me came out, I was good. At that point, luckily, I'm wearing the big sweatpants. So I, like, opened the front and I, like, looked to see what's in my pants then to, like, you know, see if it was poop or what. And it was my daughter's head. I didn't know it was a girl at the time. And I wasn't positive it was the head because it was, like, just her hair. I could tell that it wasn't the bathroom and, like, it wasn't poop and it wasn't a whole baby. So I, like, reached in to kind of, like, feel it. And it's, like, hair. Like, her hair. And at that point, she wasn't all the way out yet. But, like, as I touched her head, she kind of, like, slid out. And I, like, held her up. And I was like, look, it's the baby. Because, like, he didn't believe me, and I didn't really believe me either. But, like, literally, that's how I told him, like, look, like, the baby's here. And
again, so, wait, you look in your pants, you see her head.
Uh-huh. I see her hair.
First of all, that's so hard to, even when you're standing up, 36 weeks pregnant, to see down, yes. You know, look down and see past your stomach.
Yes.
But you're sitting somehow and you pull the sweatpants open and you look down. Throughout this whole thing, you never actually took your pants off?
I never took my pants off the whole time. They were luckily really big.
Okay, so you reach down.
What would have happened?
You touch her hair and she like borderline slips out and you pick her up and you say she's here.
And I'm like, look, it's the baby. Because we didn't know if it was a girl or a boy still. So that was like, it was crazy because with Sophie, we didn't know either. And that was like the big moment. And this time that was so secondary because we like didn't even think about what gender was because we were in the car. And right. So Justin's still driving. Like we're like driving. We're in front of the Macy's at this point. I think she actually came out like a few blocks before, I think. But when I pulled her out, we were in front of Macy's on the road. I don't totally remember this part. My husband, Justin, says he kissed her head, which is really nice. But we're like he's driving. So he's like literally in shock. I think he was more surprised.
So he's literally at the wheel like, oh, hi, mwah, leans over and gives a kiss. Does he stop the car? Is he like, what is happening?
He does like say some like, oh my God, holy moly, whatever he says. But he's driving. So I'm like, we have our daughter in the backseat also. We were in the left lane, so he couldn't even just like pull over. So he's like fully driving. We did get to a red light like very soon after I pulled her out. And my first instinct was like, we should call 911. I don't know why. In my head, I was like, if you call 911, maybe the 911 people will call the hospital and tell them like, these people are coming with a live birth in the car, like be waiting downstairs with like blankets or whatever they need or like something to cut the umbilical cord. But apparently that's not how it works. And the only
okay, but you need to go back to before we even get into this. Once you pulled her up, was your initial first thought, is she breathing? Yeah. Do I need do any sort of syringe? I mean, I'm sure you didn't have a syringe, but what?
We didn't have, like, we did have, like, my other daughter's diaper bag in the back seat, which did have, like, some stuff, but I wasn't going to go, like, get it and open it.
Right.
We have, like, no blanket, no syringe, obviously. Oh, the other part is I get really hot, especially, like, during labor, so the air was on, like, you know, blasting cold air, and then, like, this baby comes out, and obviously she's naked and like not covered or anything. I didn't have a blanket, so like I wouldn't have thought of this. Luckily Justin thought about like turning off the air, putting on the heat, which never would have crossed my mind in that moment. But we were so lucky that she started crying like basically right away. I don't know really what I would have done otherwise.
Obviously I don't want to make you think of traumatic instances, but have you actually thought of if she wasn't crying or if she was purple or something, like what would have been your natural instinct to do?
I don't know what would have been my natural instinct, but I guess, like, I know with my first daughter, the first thing they did was, like, take the aspirator and, like, suck her nose. So, like, maybe I would have used my mouth if I needed to like, suck out her nose. I don't know if I would have thought of that, though, in the moment, because, like, I was just in such shock. So, luckily, right. I didn't have to, but I think that if I had an experience like this again, my first thing that I'd want to do is make sure her nose was clear and doing that in any way possible with my mouth firstly, but, like, fingers, anything that would have gotten whatever gunk was in there out.
Right.
But I don't know if there was anything else wrong. If, God forbid, the cord was wrapped around her neck too many times, like, obviously, then I would have just taken it off. But you hear all these crazy stories where the doctors and nurses help save the baby, and we wouldn't have had that luxury in the car.
Right.
So we got very lucky that she was perfectly healthy and, like, fine, especially since she was early.
Right, definitely. So she comes out, you hold her up, he stops at the light, and you call 911.
He called 911, and they were so unhelpful. Like, couldn't have been less helpful. They told us they can get to us in 10 minutes if we pull over, but we were only, like, 3 or 4 minutes from the hospital, so, like, we weren't going to wait 10 minutes. And then they told us that we weren't at the location that we told them we were at, because according to their GPS, we were somewhere completely different. And they're like, so we can send an ambulance to this address. And we're like, we're literally not there. Like, that doesn't make sense. And she's like, well, I'm only allowed to send the ambulance to, like, the address on the GPS. So we were like, sorry, like, we're not trying to be rude, but, like, we just had a baby. You're not being helpful. Like, we're going to hang up. And we hung up on that. Which I was nervous because, like, I don't know. I feel like you're not supposed to hang up on 911. But in that moment, it was just more important that we got the baby to the hospital.
Yeah, I mean, you're so close to the hospital. Even if they had the right address, you would get there sooner with Justin driving.
Totally. And I was at this point, it was funny because I was, like, pretty calm because I was not pregnant anymore and feeling great. My daughter was here and healthy and breathing. But, like, Justin, at this point, he was freaking out because he told me afterwards, he's like, your job was done. Like, you delivered the baby. Like, now I felt like it was, like, my time to shine to, like, get you guys to the hospital quickly and safely. So at this point, he's like going through the yellow lights and honking. And to get into the hospital, you have to make a left at a light. So there was like oncoming cars because like the light was green, but cars were still going straight. And he just like kept honking and like went. And I was like, now you're going to do that? Like 5 minutes ago.
Now the tables have turned.
Right. Like now I'm fine. The baby's fine. Like everyone's good now. Like what are you doing? And he's like, no, but like now it was my time to like make sure I got my job done. So I guess he wasn't as scared about being safe as he made it sound.
And this whole time, obviously, I'm sure at this point, your pain and just any physical sensations, I'm sure it's just like blacked out because you now have a baby. And so you're, you know, you're not in writhing pain anymore. But the umbilical cord is still attached to the baby and it's still inside of you with your placenta in there. Yes. And that's all just like inside of your pants. So like the umbilical cord is just like coming up at your pants.
Uh-huh. So I was in no pain at all at this point. Like as soon as she came out or as soon as I noticed that she was out, literally every single symptom went away, which was so nice. But yes, the umbilical cord was still connected. But like, I don't know. I wasn't scared about that because I'm like, we'll be at the hospital soon and they'll cut it and I assumed at this point that I didn't tear because I didn't feel anything. I felt great. I was done. I did end up tearing, which I don't understand how I didn't feel it. But in that moment,
that was maybe your burning moment.
Right. But I thought I'd feel it like after, you know, because like I didn't have an epidural. So like if it was torn, but whatever. Luckily, I guess my adrenaline was high.
Through the roof.
Yeah. I was like kind of proud of myself because I never thought I'd be able to give birth to that. I never like even
kind of. You should be so proud of yourself.
It's just like weird because it still kind of feels fake. Like it's not anything I ever would have thought I would do. And I also feel like I didn't have to go through the mental aspect of it. Like we'll get to this part soon, but I was still so scared when we got to the hospital once I found that I had to get stitches and deliver the placenta without an epidural. Like I kind of thought when we got there, I could like get this epidural so that the rest of it would not hurt. And they're like, no, like you don't get an epidural after you have a baby. Like now you're fine. I'm like, no, like that's scary to get stitches down there with no epidural, you know?
They couldn't do any sort of local anesthetic shot.
They did do that, but it still hurt more than when I had an epidural with the first.
Well, I want to hear first, when you actually pull up to the hospital, how you actually got out of the car and into it.
We pull up to the hospital. Since Justin's, like, freaking out, he, like, cuts the valet line. Like, we pull up to the front. Like, he's honking all the cars out of the way. And he, like, gets out of the car. He couldn't come with me because Sophie was still in the car and his mom was a few minutes away. But he gets out of the car and is like, my wife just had a live baby in the car, like, whatever. So there's all these valet guys there and someone brought a wheelchair to the car. So we assumed it was the valet guy. We found out later on that it wasn't. It was just, like, a guy who was waiting at
the car
that I guess was trying to be helpful.
Good Samaritan.
I get in this wheelchair. And, you know, there's, like, blood at this point and, like, liquids just, like, everywhere. And
did you have a moment to turn back and look at the car and see what the seat looked like?
I didn't in the moment, but I have pictures that Justin took.
Was it just covered in blood and fluid?
Yes. It wasn't as bad as I would have thought it would have been. But, yes, there was blood and fluids and just, like, stuff everywhere. One part I forgot is I did take a selfie of me and my daughter, which looking back, like, Justin was like, that's what you cared about. And it's not that I cared about it. And if God forbid anything was wrong, I never would have prioritized that, obviously. But since I was healthy and she was healthy, I'm like, this was just such a crazy story. I just like felt like the picture, if we didn't have a picture, I would have thought it was fake. Like I would have felt like I dreamed it.
Team selfie all the way. I mean, I agree with you. Obviously, if there was something wrong, that wouldn't have even crossed your mind. But you have a healthy baby. You're in the car. What a moment. That's the photo you sent to our group, assuming.
We took two pictures. One was a selfie, like, right away. And then when we were in the parking lot of the hospital, I had Justin take a better picture. Because the selfie wasn't that good. But it's still, like, it's crazy because, you know, when you take a picture, it tells you, like, your location. So, like, and the picture helped us know what time she was born. We didn't know. Like, you know, when they declare what time the birth is. So, like, we refer to the picture, and location-wise, it says, like, a totally different town. I guess on the way, on the street we were on, you, like, enter a different town for, like, a little bit. But, like, it's just so wild that, like, she was born not even in the same town as, like, our house or the hospital. And now we know what time she was born or close to it because of those pictures. So, again, I never would have done that if she needed my help or my attention or anything. But because everyone was safe and healthy, I feel like the picture now, like, to be able to show her that one day will be really
definitely cool. So you get in this wheelchair, there's like fluids, you sit down, you're still attached to her with the umbilical cord. It's funny because at this point, like, no one can be like, we'll take the baby. Like, no, I need the baby.
Which was nice, I guess. And so, like, we're sitting in this wheelchair and there's like liquids going everywhere and some guy is pushing me into the lobby. And I asked him if I can stop at, I called it like reception, I guess. Like, it's not, I don't know if it's called reception. It's like a hotel. And when I told my mom the story, she's like, you wanted to like check in? Like, what? And I was like, no, like the baby was naked. Like, I wanted to get her a blanket. Like, they don't keep blankets downstairs, which I guess maybe they should. But she was probably freezing. Like, you know, it was February in New York. We're outside. It was cold. Like, I...
Did you, like, put her in your shirt or something?
I should have. I did not. But I don't know if I could have even, like, maneuvered because of the umbilical cord. And, like, I wasn't wearing a huge baggy shirt. I was wearing, like, a kind of tighter maternity shirt. So I don't know if she would have even really fit.
Yeah.
At this point, also, like, some of the liquid, like, I wasn't sure if she was going to the bathroom. Like, I didn't... You know, like, she wasn't in a diaper. I didn't have a newborn diaper with me, like, easily accessible. So she was just there, and I felt bad. So, like, I thought maybe they would have blankets downstairs, but they didn't. So she didn't get a blanket, and this man just pushed us to the elevator, and we went up to the third floor. And they said that this has happened before at the hospital, but normally when you get to the hospital, they call some kind of code so that the labor and delivery floor is, like, ready when you get there. But no one calls a code, so, like, I get to the labor and delivery floor, and they weren't prepared for me, really, because they didn't know I was coming. So they, like, the guy wheels me into, like, the check-in area there, and I'm holding this baby, you know, all, like, the white Vernix is still on her, because I didn't wipe her, I didn't do anything, I was just, she literally just came out. And the doctors and nurses, I think that it probably was a highlight of their week, because... You know,
I'm sure
it was exciting for them. Like, there was a healthy live baby who came in, and so they all were like freaking out and coming, and there was actually no delivery rooms available. So they brought us to triage, which luckily was empty. And when the doctor came, she thought I was a different patient because she like delivered other people. She didn't deliver me, so she wasn't expecting me to show up with the baby. Right when we got there, they cut the cord before Justin wasn't even there when they cut the cord, which was fine. He was there for the birth. But
yeah, he was there for the most important part. He was there
for the most important part. I was a little upset because, like, with Sophie, he got to cut the cord. But whatever, they had to cut it right away. I was considering if I should ask if I should cut it. But then I was like, no, I should just...
I'm curious if they gave you the reason for needing to cut it right away, since that is something that some people intentionally delay for long periods of time.
It was already delayed, though, not like a decent amount, but like they didn't, I think they just wanted to check the baby.
Right. They didn't know. I'm sure they just didn't know, like, if your account of it was accurate, and they were probably just like, totally, we need to cut this.
And in their defense, it's not like I was like, no, please, like, I don't want to cut it. Like, I didn't ask. I, like, agreed with whatever they said. Maybe if I had said, like, please wait, they would have. But in that moment, I just cared if she was okay. And that
I agree. Just listen to the doctors at that point.
Right. So I think the most important part, they just wanted me to, like, get in the bed and her to get in her area so they could check both of us. And the only way they could do that was by cutting it. So they wanted to, like, separate us and cut it. So they did that, and they took her and, like, did, you know, whatever vaccines or measurements or whatever they had to do for her. And then for me, I had to deliver the placenta, which, honestly, I was so scared about, because with Sophie, I had the epidural, so, like, it didn't hurt at all, the placenta, but I didn't know if it would hurt. And, like, in my head, I'm like, okay, I don't have the epidural, and I have to get this placenta out of me. Like, this is really scary. I don't know anyone else that had to, like, deliver a placenta without an epidural. So they were telling me it's fine, like, let's wait until, like, I get in, like, we wait for Justin, whatever. But I was so anxious. I was like, can I just push it now? Like, I want to get it out. Like, it honestly didn't hurt at all, but I didn't know if it would hurt.
My understanding of it, which I had my epidural, and I kind of remember my OB just, like, pushing on my stomach, and I was in baby land, so I don't even remember.
That's how I was with Sophie. I didn't even remember it coming out.
Yeah, but I feel like when I really think about it, because I did ask to see my placenta, and
me
it was kind of just looks like a liver.
And it was so much bigger than I thought.
It's big, and it's, like, slimy, and you realize it's just not that things that size normally come out of our vaginas, but, like, especially after a baby, when you're already, like, stretched and you're just in that zone, it really just slips out.
It didn't hurt, like, literally at all. But, again, I didn't know what to expect because I always thought I'd have an epidural for this part. So I just wanted it to be over with, because for me, the mental part was, like, almost worse than the physical part. Yeah. Luckily, I think it almost would have been harder if I had, like, gotten to the hospital and they were like, the baby's coming in 5 minutes. Like, you don't have time to get the epidural. Because then I mentally would have had to know, like, oh, my God, I'm giving birth without an epidural.
Right. It's almost just like you were blind and it just happened.
Right.
And the whole time you thought you were having contractions.
Yes, exactly. So I kind of, in that sense, lucked out. And I also think I got a little lucky. Maybe if Justin hadn't stopped at the yellow lights, we would have gotten to the hospital a few minutes earlier. And I might have had the baby, like, in the waiting room or lobby or something, which would have been worse, I think.
Yeah, especially because you would have gotten up there. They would have said there's no rooms.
Right.
You would have gone to triage. You probably wouldn't have been able to get the epidural right there safely in time. And you would have just, you probably would have, it would have been worse, I would argue.
And at least I kind of had some privacy. Like, I was with my husband and my other daughter. Like, I, not that it would have been the end of the world, but, like, you know, the waiting room was packed. I wouldn't have, it wouldn't have been my first choice to, like, give birth in front of all these strangers.
I was going
to
ask you if you remember at all when you got into the wheelchair and you were wheeled in, and then when you got into the elevator or, like, up to the labor and delivery floor. Of course, it's probably the last thing on your mind is looking around, but did you look around at all, and were there people just
yes
in shock watching what was happening? Yes,
there was a lot. Everyone was looking at me, like, literally everyone. There also was, like, liquid, like, kind of following me in the wheelchair, which I didn't really know, but Justin told me when he came in. He's like, oh, I knew where you were because, like, there was a trail.
Just follow the trail of blood to find Chelsea.
Exactly. But, you know, people were shocked. Like, I would be shocked if I saw a woman with an umbilical cord and, like, a baby with a vernix all on them, like, coming in. You don't see that, like, ever.
Would you describe yourself normally as an extrovert or an introvert?
It's a great question. I don't know. What would you describe me as? I think that I would say
I think you're extroverted.
Really?
I think you're extroverted, but you're not used to performing.
Exactly. I love my friends and I love being social, but I'm not someone who needs to always be surrounded by a million people, and, like, I like my own time too.
Yeah. So, like, and yeah. So my question where I was leading with that was, did you even have the bandwidth in your brain at that moment to feel embarrassed or to feel like people were looking at you, or were you just like, it is what it is, here I am, I'm going, like, through the hospital.
I was so happy that I wasn't pregnant anymore, and I was so relieved that she was safe and, like, healthy and breathing. I just felt bad that, like, she was cold. I don't know if she was cold, but she must have been cold because she was, like, all wet.
Do you remember what temperature it was on that day?
It was in the 50s, so it wasn't, like, freezing, but, like, for a newborn, okay, who's not in any clothes.
Yeah, I mean, it's February in New York. You're stressed about the cold with a newborn. I get that. People bundle up their babies before they leave, so.
Yeah, and we were just, she was naked outside, but she's fine. We run very warm, and, like, we like when it's cold, so hopefully maybe this helped her run warm too.
Yes. What was the experience of after the placenta?
So then they told me
then you have to get stitched.
To get the stitches, and I really was upset because I really wanted to get the epidural, because, like, that's scary. And she did give me a shot, like a local anesthesia, but it was a huge needle that, I don't know, when someone holds a needle around down there, like, that's not comforting. It was fine. It was not as bad as I expected, but it did definitely hurt a lot more than when I had the epidural. So,
did she tell you what degree tear you had?
Second degree tear, and I had the same second degree tear with Sophie, so I'm assuming it was, like, the same part that tore the first time, tore again this time.
And now you are over a month postpartum?
Tomorrow will be 5 weeks.
5 weeks.
Which is crazy.
And how have you healed?
Since I had the baby, everything's been amazing. Since, like, my pregnancies again were really rough. So I'm just so happy that that part's over. And I can't wait for you to join me on the other side soon. But healing has been great. A bunch of people have asked me if it's easier to heal this time without the epidural. Honestly, it's been, like, the same. Like, both times, the first week was sore, and then after that was fine. So I don't know if I would avoid getting the epidural because of healing. I know some people really don't want to deal with the after effects of the epidural, but I didn't really feel any difference.
When you give birth in your car and then you get to the hospital, or I guess in the case of someone who has a home birth and then for some reason goes to the hospital after, does the hospital still bill you for having had a hospital labor?
Yes, they do. It's the same. You still have to pay for labor and delivery, which makes no sense because I didn't labor or deliver there. But we asked that's how we knew it wasn't the valet guy, actually, because the finance person came to like give us the bill. And she's like, right. Like, you are the one, I pushed the elevator button for you that day. I guess she was the one standing at the elevator and pushed the button. And she asked me, she's like, I told her the story. And she's like, how did your dad get here so quickly? And I was like, what do you mean? Like, he's not here. And she's like, yeah, like, he pushed you upstairs. And I was like,
the man who pushed you upstairs.
Wait. I was like, that was the valet guy. And she's like, no, like, I'm friends with the valet guy. He's like, he doesn't work at valet. So that's how we figured out that he was just a regular good Samaritan helping me.
Did you ever get his name?
We didn't, because I thought he was gonna work at valet. Like, I was planning when we were leaving to stop by and like say thank you.
But wow, that guy went home and had a story to tell.
And he was so nice. When we got upstairs, he asked me if he wanted me, he's like, do you want me to stay to like push you? And I was like, no, like, I think the doctors can push me. Like, I don't know. I thought maybe he wanted to like not go back to his job for a little bit, get a little
break. Right.
But I guess he was trying to be like, you don't have your husband here or like anyone here because like you're by yourself. Do you want me to stay? Which was really nice, but I didn't appreciate it.
That's so nice. Meanwhile, the nurses are like, it's her dad.
Right? They assumed, I guess.
I'm looking at the questions that some other people asked, and I want to just make sure to get to some of these questions. But we really answered most of them. So you had a baby at, what was it, 36 weeks in a day?
Yes, 36 weeks in one day.
And how much, once you got to the hospital and you weighed her and all that, how much did she weigh?
She was 7 pounds, 2 ounces, which, you know, thank God that we didn't go much longer.
Yeah, it's no wonder she came out. She was ready.
She was ready to go.
Do you and Justin plan on having a third?
It's a great question. Also, we always thought that we would have three, and then I had really rough pregnancies, and so we said maybe just two. The doctors did tell me that if I were to have a third, I'd have to like possibly, they said bed rest, but I don't know how that would help, because if I was on bed rest at home, I still have to get to the hospital.
Baby would come in the bed.
Right. So they said that we'd have to have like a plan, like a more intense plan of how that would go. But we said we're going to wait until our daughter who was born, her name's Olivia, until she's one at least. Definitely no plans of anything until at least she's one, and then we'll see. As of now, we're probably done, but never say never.
I love that. So wait, I just am curious, what happened to your car? Who took it immediately? Oh. Who handled the car?
We valeted, because Justin had to get upstairs right away. So the valet guy took the car, and I asked Justin, like, did you feel bad, like, you know, giving him the car? And he didn't even think of it at the time. The valet guy did call us a few hours later and tell us that he cracked the windows. He's like, you know, if it's going to smell real bad tomorrow if we don't crack the windows. And we got the car. Some service came to detail the car. It looks like new and smells perfectly normal, and you can never tell that a baby was born in there now.
Did this whole experience change the way that you view giving birth?
Yes. I think that for me, I'm someone who would never, ever, ever have thought this would happen to me. Like, you know, we live in New York, which is one of the biggest cities and suburbs in the world. Like, there's millions of doctors and hospitals everywhere. Part of me almost feels like, not embarrassed, but like, I feel like people would hear the story and think, you should have left earlier. Like, why did you wait? You know, but like, I didn't wait. We left really soon after anything happened. I think that this showed me that, first of all, women can do anything. Women's bodies are absolutely insane, that they can grow a baby and then just like get it out really with no help and no medicine and no doctors. Like, it's crazy what our bodies can do. But also it made me, I'm kind of like, now that I have two daughters, I'm kind of excited to tell them the story and like empower girls. Because a lot of times, you know, first of all, a man can never do this. I'm sure you, if men had to be pregnant, there would be like no people anymore. Pregnancy and giving birth are, it's worth it, but it's really difficult. And I just feel really lucky that everything turned out the way it did and that everyone's healthy and that everyone's okay. And hopefully this story will help someone else who hears this be a little bit less nervous about if their water breaks or if they go into labor, not in an ideal setting. If I can do this, like literally anyone can do it, because I have not a good pain tolerance. And it honestly wasn't even that painful. The contractions were painful, but the delivery part could have been way worse.
I guess what it really nets out at, which is where the story can be a little, not scary, but the story can make pregnant people feel like they don't necessarily know their own bodies, is that the feelings you were feeling were so different from your first labor and delivery.
Right.
That it almost makes you feel as a pregnant person that it's not even like you're waiting for this moment that you know what to expect. You don't even know what to expect. this experience can be night and day from your first.
Yeah.
To the point where you're feeling sensations that don't in your head scream, it's labor, it's no, labor.
Totally.
Yeah. And I mean, it's, I definitely was starting to go, you know, telling stories in my head of how I gave birth at 37 weeks. So I better be, you know, any slight sign of not being able to sit or any slight pain, I am on the way to the hospital. I'm not waiting. You probably helped a lot of people.
I hope so.
Not have worst a case car scenario, birth.
If anyone has to do what I did, everything turned out like perfectly. And hopefully right. now like people can maybe think about if God forbid they have to give birth in a car, like have blankets there, like have the aspirator, like think about sucking their nose. I am grateful now that if this were to happen to me again or to any of my friends or anything, like there are a few things that I wouldn't have thought of in the moment that now I have thought of. So I would be more prepared next time if it were to happen again.
Truly, you are a super mom. I can't thank you enough for coming on and telling the story. I know so many people out there have had car births or, you know, random place births by accident that are going to love hearing this story. And especially, I have so many pregnant people in my community, and I really do think it's going to give them that little burst of not needing to have so much fear. You know, even in the case where something highly unpredictable happens, look at the way you're telling the story. You're smiling, you're laughing, and correct me if I'm wrong, but even though it was hard and you were in pain, you look back on this experience fondly, and I'm sure you're happy that you had it at the end of the day.
Since everything's okay and everyone's healthy, it was the yes. best experience ever. And like, I know that we've spoken like as friends privately, not on this, about like pregnancy and all of that. And like, honestly, I think being pregnant was so much harder than the delivery. When people ask me about having a third kid and I say like, not sure, it's all because of the pregnancy, not because of the delivery, like at all. The delivery honestly was relatively easy. Like, I hear people who've been in labor for 30 hours, and like, to me, that sounds worse.
Having quick labors, even if it means before you get to the hospital, I guess not the worst problem to have, because a lot of people have really long, drawn out
right.
scenarios.
Like, I think those women are superheroes more than me, because that sounds miserable. So I guess everyone has their own thing that they have to deal with, and this was mine, and luckily it worked out perfectly. But I think that everyone who has a baby, whether it's like no matter what kind of birth, it's hard. And so like everyone should feel really proud of themselves, and everyone's a superhero for the way that they brought their baby into this world, because it's no joke.
Thanks, Chelsea. You're the best. I'm so happy you came on.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for tuning in to The Real Stuff. I'm Lucy Fink. Don't forget to follow the show on social media at The Real Stuff Pod. And if you're liking these episodes, please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a written review. It helps the show so much. And if you're feeling called to come on the show, visit lucyfink.com/apply and tell us your story. We'll see you next week for another intimate conversation on The Real Stuff.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.